Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, your home for all that holiday decorating. The poinsettias, what are they? Thousands of them there. Every imaginable color. And they grow them right here in Tucson. We're in the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson. My buddy Brendan Kraft is engineering and producing the show. He always brings to the table his A game. And I'm already looking on my monitor, Brendan, what some of your bump music looks like. You've got Quincy Jones coming up with Soul Bossa Nova. What are you feeling? And then you got Summer Samba. This is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Rio de Janeiro in the summer because the seasons are reversed. And, you know, it's December here, but people always forget, well, in Australia and New Zealand and Rio, Christmas time is a very hot time of year.
Indeed, very tropical.
Very tropical. I'm all in on that. So we'll be looking forward to your bump music. We're at KVOI, Tucson's Voice, for trusted local news and talk. Yes, we are closing out the radio career. It does not mean I'm going away. I still will be here in Tucson with what seems to be a growing list of projects by the day, but we'll close it all out 4 weeks from yesterday. So we've still got 4 weeks to talk to everybody, which is great. December, a very busy time. We've got a birthday coming up. My fiance's birthday's coming up. We've got Christmas. A lot of fun happening in December. And by the way, when we do our telephone interviews, one of our wonderful sponsors, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is the sponsor of our live line. Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl joining us probably for the last time. What makes it so?
Oh, I'm knuckling away a tear.
I know, for the last time.
We've had some fun.
I know, we've had a lot of fun. We've talked to you over the years in your various capacities. With the Native Seed Search, the Tucson Audubon Society, now known as...
The Tucson Bird Alliance.
Tucson Bird Alliance. Talked to you in your capacity as the Arizona representative of the National Conservation Association, which was working at the time and still tries to, but a lot of headwinds from D.C. trying to protect the Grand Canyon, Saguaro, Petrified National Park. And I want to talk. Can I talk a little bit about my trip to New Mexico?
Please do it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it was a really great trip, and it was centered around a couple of one national park and one rather obscure but fascinating national monument, White Sands National Park. And it used to be a monument. Now they've made it a national park, well-deserved.
Yes, only Congress can designate national parks.
Really?
Congress can designate national monuments, but also the president can as well.
Uh-huh. So it was terrific. One thing that was this was not a kind of a good look, I don't think, for the United States. We met people at White Sands from India, Europe, all over the world. But guess what, Kevin? Within 2 miles of the entrance to the national park is an immigration stop.
Yeah.
I know. What? What in the world?
It is a bad look. And as you know, Bill, the president has decided to charge our foreign visitors an extra $100 per day to some of our national parks.
Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, that's $100 per person.
That's incredibly wrong. I mean, our national parks is one of America's best ideas, I think, Ken Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And we led the world in protecting our most special places, not just beautiful landscapes, but our history is contained in those places. And foreign visitors bring us tourism dollars that are incredible. And this administration, I'm going to be political here, mm-hmm. has kind of squelched foreign tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign students, it's harder for them to come here. And as a businessman, he's going down the wrong road. As an American,
Yeah.
He's going down the wrong road, because we want people to visit us and learn
yeah.
the good things that we do. And our national parks are one of our best
things. Oh, we have so many wonderful national parks and monuments, especially here in the Southwest. And the other place we visited was a ruins from 1600s, 1675-ish, Grand Couvera, and it really is isolated. It's up on like 8,000 foot elevation. It was really cold, cold and a little bit windy because it had been raining. But my goodness, what an incredible, to get there off the main, one of the main New Mexico highways, you take a left and then you go on, I guess it's kind of a county road or whatever. We went 42 miles in like 50 minutes, saw one other vehicle, a truck, but we did see wild horses by the side of the road, 24 of them at a water hole, an incredible fox, dozens of pronghorns, you know, wow. the pronghorn
yeah.
antelope, just running wild. And it was wonderful to kind of get that far away. I can't recall being in that kind of a situation where you pass like one other vehicle in 50 minutes.
America's public lands, especially here in the West, especially New Mexico and Arizona, are incredible, incredibly diverse. There's a lot of monuments that preserve these special places where people who lived here before, Americans or Mexicans, Spanish came to this country. We have a lot to learn from those places, and it's great that you went to one that's one of those special places that not a lot of people go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and you did go there.
I've
you
been
were
there.
Telling me.
It's amazingly well-preserved.
It is.
Those walls are so
straight.
The walls
and what the old mission, it kind of reminded me of the movie with De Niro, called The Mission.
Oh.
I mean, it was just, but they're just beautifully preserved ruins up there. Anyway, congratulations. You were sworn into a second 4-year term.
Yes.
Yesterday at a kind of a big event for the city at the Tucson Convention Center. Was this ever your dream to get into politics?
I've always thought that politics was something important to pay attention to. My family was a political family. I remember going door to door for politicians when I was younger.
Do you remember what politician?
John F. Kennedy.
There you go.
That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But my career was a career in conservation, protecting the planet working for various groups. And politics is part of that because we lobby. You know, we can't be complete lobbyists, but a portion of our budget can go to lobbying and try to influence good legislation to protect the air, water, public lands. But not until recently has my wife been interested in letting me be in public office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unlike me, I've been tested. I'm an off-the-scale extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
She's introverted and very good with people one-on-one. But this time she said, 4 years ago, 5 years ago at this point, she said, yeah, go ahead, Kevin. You've wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm. And you shared with me before we started today that you went to ASU. We won't hold that against
you. I also went to U of A.
Okay, but at ASU, you got political.
I was student body vice president at that
point. So, you know, I've been talking with our guests, regular guests, because we are going to close out 15 full years. And we think back to 2011, January 2011, when I started the show. And what a horrible week for Tucson that was, because that Saturday was the Gabrielle Giffords assassination
Goodness.
Attempt,
yeah.
and she'd been on my show that inaugural week, that Thursday of my first week on the radio show. And by the way, that interview, along with everything, all of our archives, is going to still live on at buckmastershow.com. We'll have the complete 15 years of shows there, and then we're going to rework the website because I am going on, because my business's kind of model is changing. I'm going to be doing some other things that I'm excited about, and that'll all be there on my website. But when you reflect over the past 15 years, some of the problems in Tucson are still with us, to say the least, right?
Well,
yeah.
Reflecting on the attempted assassination of Gabrielle Giffords, we still have a lot of gun violence. And the city of Tucson, through our police department and through some of our social agencies, are focusing on areas that have a lot of gun violence. But the political rhetoric, it seems to have amplified from that time.
Yeah. There was led by social media,
which has crazy stuff in it. But just recently, our U.S. senator, our president, called for our U.S. senator to be arrested and hung as a traitor. That sort of rhetoric is way too common. There's way too many guns. Remember, my colleague Steve Kosicek tried to do a program where we would bring in guns to the city and melt them down.
Yeah.
And the Republican state legislature made it impossible for the city to do anything else with guns they collect through programs like that, or even just criminal guns. We can't destroy them.
No. Why don't we pause? This would be a good time to take a break and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. How was your Thanksgiving, your meal?
Delicious.
Yeah, what was your dessert?
Pumpkin pie and also apple pie, but pumpkin pie is my favorite.
Well, pumpkin and apple, of course, are a couple of the signature pies at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They've been a very loyal sponsor as well, Steve and the team. They've been operating a wonderful bakery for over 20 years there. And this time of year, when you have your signature pastry called a Danish Kringle, that kind of sounds Christmassy, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
It sure does.
So check it out. Stop by Mona's. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. They're open 7 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Take a break right here. Okay, Brendan, go ahead with your bump music. This is Island Hopping.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Are we doing more island hopping, Brendan? Yes, doing more island hopping. I'm always in the mood for some tropical destination. especially as we approach kind of our shortest day of the year.
We long for the sun.
We do. Kevin Dahl is with me, and Kevin was sworn in to a... Makes it sound like were you taken downtown and fingerprinted?
We have to swear or affirm.
Swear.
And I did both. I'm not...
You did both yesterday at the... At the meeting.
The inauguration.
The inauguration to get the new council up and running. How did that joint meeting with the Pima County Board of Supervisors go, all of you together?
I thought it was very successful.
In one room.
Yeah. There was no fighting. Even Steve Christie made some excellent jokes, I thought. I complimented him on when he said he was the elephant in the room. I thought that was hilarious. But we all had a chance to speak. We had detailed presentations from both the county and city on the issues of homelessness and housing. Which is vital to both of our bodies, and the more we cooperate, the better. So I'm hopeful, and I already have connections. I'm good friends with Rex, Chairman Scott, Scott, and also Jennifer Allen and my office meet on a monthly basis because our district and ward overlap. So the more cooperation between us, the better, I think.
I'll actually be at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
You're getting a proclamation.
A proclamation. I'm not sure where it's coming from. I mean,
people want
I know
to honor you, Bill. You've done good work for the community.
Well,
over
it's just
years.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Supervisor Chair Scott informed me of that while we were on our trip to New Mexico, and then I read it, and I'm going, wow, that is just really nice.
It's thoughtful.
And here's the kind of the cherry on top of the dessert. The ice cream and the whipped cream. That's my birthday.
Oh.
December 16th. So we'll start it with a proclamation.
Yeah.
And then they're declaring my final day on the year, December the 30th, as Bill Buckmaster Day. So then I will proclaim that everybody gets the day off.
Thank you.
Might be kind of easy because a lot of people might
anyhow,
be off.
Bill, yeah.
Some people may be off anyway. So, but I'm now. So if it's Bill Buckmaster Day, you can tell your boss I'm off. It's Bill BB Day. So,
BB Day.
Anyway, what's going to happen with Project Blue? Is this
well, boy, news
Tony
every
Davis,
day.
Who does great work, has a piece on the front page.
Yeah.
There's no retiring in Tony. He's going to keep working.
God bless him.
And I'm glad he is. But he says Amazon's out of the picture, and maybe like the Meta, the company that operates Facebook, will replace Amazon as the center's operator. What role does the city now assume here in this?
Well, to be vocal critics, my colleague Paul Cunningham said at first yesterday that this is a group that doesn't have any transparency and can't be trusted. Amazon was in, not in. They absolutely had to have Tucson Water. Oh, no, we can't get it. We can do something else. If Beale or any other AI data center wants to build in the city or within the confines of the Tucson Water service area, which goes outside the area, and wants Tucson Water, we now have guidelines in place, and we're going to reevaluate those in a few months so that mayor and council will get to decide if any large water user wants to use Tucson Water. We have a say. We didn't have that in place before Project Blue. So thank you, Project Blue, for helping us in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope this particular project doesn't happen. We're building data centers across the country. There are better places that have better energy supplies and better water supplies, and that seems much more appropriate to do this thing that's just storing electrons.
Yeah, and they keep changing. Well, the power source kind of keeps, the cooling source keeps changing.
Yeah,
right?
The Corporation Commission has something to say about that. The city and others have intervened in the case where TEP is making their case about the agreement that they've made for energy. Kudos to Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson, Republican, who's been asking hard questions and asking TEP to show show exactly where are they going to get the energy. Is it taking away from energy sources that would otherwise be going to existing customers, and is it driving up the price?
You brought me in a little going away gift, and it says Tucson Water, 125 years. I assume it's a nice looking can, and I assume it's the water is pretty good, sparkling water. Is this tap water that...
It's tap water that's been brewed into carbonated seltzer water or sparkling water. And this is from Tucson Water, who is celebrating 125 years of serving water and has done a great job. We had a ceremony where we opened a time capsule and did another time capsule. But these are now available. Tucson Water used to hand out water for events. Now we're handing out sparkling water in three different flavors representing the past, present, and future.
Huh.
And so if anybody is interested in trying this, all the ward offices have them. Go to your ward office and ask for a can of the sparkling water. And we'll be taking them to events, the litter cleanups, the tree plantings, the neighborhood association meetings, so that people can share in the joy of us having a strong and positive Tucson water utility.
Here's prickly pear pina sparkling water. There's prickly pear lime. And this one's the prickly pear sandia. Not sure what that's about, but you say they're pretty good.
I've tried all three, and I don't remember what the sandia means, but they're all delicious. Yeah. And as I told you, Bill, we are going to be constructing facilities that will do advanced purification for reclaimed water, making it drinkable, absolutely drinkable and pure. They do this elsewhere. They're doing it in Scottsdale. And
people get worried about this.
And, well, they should. Yeah. I mean, in a third world country, it might not be a healthy thing to do, but we'll make absolutely sure it's healthy and clean. And we'll introduce people. We're going to have a pilot, smaller project that will be built first, and it'll be near Sweetwater Wetlands for tours, so school kids can and other groups can learn about the process and watch the process. And at that point, some of these cans of sparkling water will be made with the advanced purified water.
So what will be the big issue in 2026 for the city?
Oh, there's not going to be a single issue. We'll be continuing to deal with the problems of too many people using fentanyl, unsheltered folks. We want to make sure our water supplies continue, and we do with maximum water conservation. We need to protect our most vulnerable during the hot summers because of climate change.
All right, let's go to caller Matthew. Matthew would like to speak with the councilman, Kevin Dahl. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, very quickly, yesterday, an item about heavy water was added to the agenda for the county board of supervisors but it was very cryptic. It was sent by one of their committees, and one of the supervisors requested it be put on the agenda. Have you heard anything about heavy water? I mean, I assume it's Blue Owl related, but who knows? Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the question, Matthew. Unfortunately, I haven't heard anything about it, but I'm going to look into it.
Wow. My friend David just sent me a message. Sandia means watermelon.
Oh, there we go. I should have known that, Bill.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Can your friend David look up heavy water and tell us what that's all about, too? Maybe not.
Okay. He also asked, can Kevin explain the vote for vice mayor yesterday, and why did he vote the way he did?
It was a 3-4 vote.
Who wound up being vice mayor?
Two people put in their names for vice mayor, Lane Santa Cruz, who won the 4 vote. I was supporting Paul mostly because I think it should be rotated more often, and Vice Mayor Santa Cruz has done a great job. She runs a good meeting. She's been doing some national work, but she's had it for 2 years, and Paul wanted to do it, and I supported mostly because we used to just rotate it on a standard basis, and now you have to actually apply, which means people who don't care to have it don't have to worry about it. I did it for a year, and I thought it was a great experience. And I think it's important that our new colleagues both have a chance in the future to be vice mayor as well.
And David just sent me, boy, this is really nice. Our friend David Morales, who does the Three Sonorans, he just put out something, the man behind the mic, Bill Buckmaster's six-decade journey from Chicago dreams.
I saw that this morning, Bill.
This is really nice.
He must like you.
Oh, I hope so. He's a good guy. Yeah. All right. We've got less than a minute to go. Any final thoughts?
Thank you, Bill, for your years of community service. We didn't mention that you had a career before radio, and we were professional friends back then when I went on to talk about Native Seed Search.
Sure. I had the TV.
Yeah.
for 22 years back in the day when Arizona Illustrated was a really kind of hard news daily live program. You know, we did a lot of, we did features, of course, but now it's a little different. It's a weekly thing. But anyway, we had a great run with Arizona Illustrated, but we've also had a great run here on the radio, and I really appreciate, Kevin, you coming in every month and sharing your thoughts with us.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you again for doing all this, and best of luck with your new projects.
Yep,
it'll be exciting to follow you.
Some fun stuff coming up. All right, coming up next, retired three-star general Jeffrey Buchanan is in the house. And he will have some things to say about that dust-up with Senator Mark Kelly and the Trump administration. I'm really anxious to hear what General Buchanan has to say about all that. But right now, let's have the mid-show break.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. I love Green Things, and I'll be doing a project with them as part of my next chapter that will begin in January. One of the projects I'll be working on, but I'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. We still have four weeks yesterday of radio to do, and I'm excited about it. We've got Green Things sponsorship. They've been terrific to me. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. So many poinsettias. Wow. They grow thousands of them there. They have the largest collection, certainly, in Arizona. Great colors and selection at Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Also, their websites, greenthingsaz.com, Zocalo Village is their side sister business on the 13-acre site. And if you're looking for an alternative to a live Christmas tree or cut Christmas tree, their trees from Mexico are made out of tin, and they're very, very decorative. So something to think about. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Boy, I've enjoyed my talks with retired three-star general Jeffrey Buchanan. He, along with many of my guests, is one of the guests I'll really miss. He retired after 37 years. So he's transitioned. He knows about transitions. He did it in 2019, and now he's doing all sorts of stuff, like one of the five commissioners on the Arizona Game and Fish Commission. He's active in Veterans Affairs. He's a volunteer deputy sheriff in Santa Cruz County. The man keeps very busy. And General, it's great to see you.
Thanks, Bill. Hey, I can't help myself, but last year we talked about the name poinsettias.
Yeah.
And where it comes from.
It's that
I prefer the Mexican name.
Which is
Noche Buena.
Okay, because of the Mr.
Because that's where the plant comes from, and right. The guy that the Americans named it after, poinsettia, was kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Wasn't he like the ambassador?
He was the ambassador to Mexico, and very condescending and abusive and all kinds of things.
So the name that you like is?
The Mexican name, Noche Buena.
Noche Buena. Well, we'll use that for a while. Noche Buena. Okay. General, as I was mentioning in the first segment with Councilman Dahl, I had a great trip during the Thanksgiving week over in New Mexico. And, you know, we share a lot of wildlife, don't we?
We do. With the very similar species.
Yeah. So we were on our way to Gran Cuvera, a very remote site, national monument in south central New Mexico, with some incredible ruins from the Jesuit days that go back to 1675. But to get there off one of the main roads, we traveled over 40 miles on a road where we passed only one other vehicle. But we did see a lot of wildlife. We saw the antelope.
Yeah, pronghorn antelope.
Yeah, dozens of them. A really good-looking fox ran across, and he stopped and posed. Really nice. And then we saw wild horses. It had rained a lot a couple of days earlier, and they were all at this like water hole. There must have been two dozen of them. They looked healthy. Does Game and Fish regulate wild horses in Arizona?
No, actually, and they're not. Most of the horses that we have in the wild are feral horses. So there's a little bit of a difference. They were once, you know, in captivity and escaped, and have, like, if you go up in the Apache Sitgraves National Forest, we are 900% of our authorized strength of wild horses in agreements laid out by the Forest Service. And so the horses that are up there, they generally came into that area after the Wallow Fire in 2011, I think. It burned a lot of fences that were on the Apache reservation there. The horses came across, and they've since then continue to breed and multiply. They are not wildlife, and so they're not managed by Game and Fish.
Well, who is managing?
Well, the Forest Service, and, you know, just like the BLM tries to manage feral donkeys or burros, it's a significant problem. Because these animals are incredibly destructive to the environment, they of course, horses can be very aggressive. And I got to tell you, I love horses. I own three of them, you know, but when they're feral like that, they can keep deer and elk and wildlife from getting to water holes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a significant problem. We work very closely with both the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management to try to keep the horse populations in check. All of this is limited by the Wild Horse and Burro Act of 1971, which, you know, says we can't do what we would normally do.
Yeah, basically, you know, what the protocol is, leave them alone?
Well, no, they try to capture them, okay. They try to round them up, and then they try to adopt them out. Mm. And, you know, that leads to thousands and thousands of horses and burros that are in captivity that didn't grow up that way, and now they try to get adopted out. And so it's a real problem.
We did see some elk in Ruidoso. That just drove into town, and there's an elk right there in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We have them in northern Arizona, right?
We do, and okay. In eastern Arizona, you know, through the White Mountains and up all the way up around up into Flagstaff.
So their range comes all the way down the Rocky Mountains,
it
basically.
It does, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you talked about pronghorn.
Right.
What a lot of people don't know is that we have a very successful program in our state on a reintroduction of Sonoran pronghorn. It's a subspecies. Most of the pronghorn in Arizona are the standard, the same ones that you'll see in New Mexico, Wyoming, Montana. It's all the same subspecies. But we've had a subspecies here for years. They got down to less than 20 animals.
Wow.
Years ago, and we worked with the country of Mexico back and forth, taking some. We now have a what started out as a captive breeding program, and it's expanded, and we now have a very healthy wild herd west of Tucson. It's between Tucson and Yuma, and we work, you know, we manage them very closely. But it's a success story in restoring a population that was extremely endangered. Mm.
Well, I wasn't going to spend the whole first segment talking about wildlife, but actually, it's very, very interesting, but I do want to talk about the dust up between one of our two senators, highly decorated military man, astronaut, Senator Kelly, and President Trump and the administration. What's your take on all of this?
Let me just start out by saying I think that, and this is all personal opinion,
okay,
but two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the actions of the Trump administration, one of my biggest concerns with respect to the military is the politicization, or at least the perceived politicization of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of how it was intended, there's a series of actions that could lead the average person to perceive that the military is becoming increasingly a political tool.
Yeah.
You have, you know, presidential rallies that are political rallies on military bases using soldiers as backdrops.
No.
Firing of a whole great number of senior leaders in the military, seemingly without cause or no explanation given. And, you know, domestic deployment of military forces. And, you know, as a guy who's commanded a lot of military forces in domestic deployments, obviously there's a lot of that gets sorted out one way or the other by the courts. The great effect of that, though, is that it causes a perception in a lot of people that the military is becoming increasingly a political instrument.
Yes.
The concern I have is that the result will be you'll start to see confidence in the military and trust in the military as an institution dropping.
Mm-hmm.
If it's perceived as a political instrument, it's only natural people are not going to trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 40 years, the military has been, as an institution in our country, at the top in a level of trust amongst our population. I think that may change. So I'm deeply concerned about it. But at the same time, you know, Senator Kelly's actions, to me, was actually just throwing gas on the fire of the same thing. You know, taking this and making a video in a very public way, with the result of potentially confusing a bunch of sergeants and privates about where their loyalties lie, to me it's a different shade of politicizing the military.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to keep the military out of it, now potentially they're going to be used as pawns again. And my belief is, if he was serious about this, he should have sent a private letter to each of our combatant commanders reminding them of their obligations instead of making a very public video and blasting it across the airwaves. So, you know, in this case, of course, you know, I fight very hard to be nonpartisan.
Right.
I'm not happy with the results of either the administration or the opposition in this case, because they're both trying to politicize something that shouldn't be.
Hmm. So Senator Kelly should have worked through more back channels?
Just go directly to the senior most uniformed people that are in charge of operations around the world, or our combatant commanders. And actually, the chain of command goes from the president to the secretary of defense to the combatant commander, not to the chairman. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is an advisor, but he's not actually in command of operational military forces. Mm.
It seems like some have been critical of the chairman not being very visible through this whole dust up around the Venezuelan and the so-called drug boats incidents. What's your take on that?
Well, I let me say up front, I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, to what extent he's been engaged or not, either behind the scenes or in a public way. I can tell you that his predecessor is a guy that I know and have worked with many, many years, Mark Milley. Actually, he was the predecessor to the predecessor.
General Milley. Yeah.
But you may remember that when General Milley got engaged, like he was involved in a photo shoot that probably he didn't intend to do, but it sent a wrong message, and he had led a very public apology. That led to an increasingly amount of conflict between him and the president. And so my instinct is that General Kane is probably trying not to have that conflict, certainly not in a public way. Mm. And if he's dealing with the president and providing advice, he's probably doing it behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. We do need to take the break, but let's just follow up a little bit more about what you have been seeing, like all of us, about with these boats, these so-called drug boats. What do you think?
Do you want to take the break? It's going to
take
me a while.
Let's take the break,
and we'll come back to it.
That will be our question for retired 3-star General Jeffrey Buchanan. It's Buckmaster on a midweek edition Wednesday. We will be right back.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's talking about New Mexico and our great time over there and Silver City's position to be there at the Gila National Wilderness. Some really tall, General Buchanan is with us, retired three-star general. There's some really tall mountain peaks in the Gila.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And we were there after going through that area right after a snowstorm last week, and it was absolutely beautiful.
My friend Hal, who's with me, and us and our two wives took about a 4 or 5 day trip through there one time, all on horseback.
Wow!
Into the Gila, just an incredible place, and it's incredibly beautiful. And there's a lot that you can see off the beaten path as well. But you have to go because it's a wilderness area. Yeah. You can't drive.
Right.
Walk in or go on horseback.
Start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. The good news is it really is not a bad drive at all over there. About, I don't know, by the time you hit Lordsburg, you've put in maybe about 3 hours and then take a left, head up the mountain. So you're going to be there within 4 hours for sure. And I said this the other day and gave them a nice plug because a really nice Mexican restaurant in Lordsburg called Ramona's and terrific food. We had some great New Mexico food on the trip. And general, they always ask you in New Mexico, it's kind of Tex-Mex, but they always ask you, do you want green or red? But
the green chilies there are hot.
They are.
They're much hotter than you typically
find. You would think, yeah. They're very hot. Okay, getting back to this controversy over blowing up a boat, alleged drug boat, then going back and finishing off a couple of survivors. What's your take on all that? I want to hear
what you said. Well, first of all, as far as facts go, I don't have any more facts than you do.
Okay.
No, I read the papers and I read articles online and those kinds of things, but even though I still have my clearances, I haven't gotten any briefings on this, so none of this is inside scoop. So given all that, I'll tell you what I think, not what I know, because I don't know what the where the truth lies. You know, I think there's question out there about whether we've been interdicting drug boats and airplanes for years, back since the 80s. We've been doing this. We have a task force based in El Paso that stood up in 1989, and we're continuing to work that military working in support of law enforcement. The question, there's a couple of questions that are out there that need to be answered. One is a military operation where you're leading with missiles rather than a law enforcement operation where you'd be leading with boarding and seizing of drugs, you know, whether or not that is an act of war, whether or not it's legal and everything else. I think that's, again, that's for courts, Congress, others to sort out. There's certainly some questions there, and there's controversy about that. You know, typically what we have done is we use Navy vessels, but we'll have a Coast Guardsman on board who has law enforcement authority so that if a Navy vessel interdicts one of these drug boats and they board it and they capture the people and take them prisoner, seize all the drugs, it's actually a law enforcement operation, even though 98% of the people are all Navy. They're under the supervision of a Coastie who's got law enforcement authority. So the question is this a law enforcement action? And if so, then it's probably not okay to just shoot missiles, or is it more of a military action?
And the
That's
military
question number one.
Military operation would be like a act of war against these
people.
Yeah,
I mean, it certainly could be.
And who is the act of war against? Venezuela or?
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's one issue. I think there's question about whether or not there was a ordered re-attack of survivors, which would clearly be against the law of war if that happened. I don't know what the facts are, and I assume that they'll get to it. There's some bigger issues out there, though. And these are things that I think are worth all of us thinking about. I mean, we've had various versions of the war on drugs since the Nixon administration.
Oh, yeah.
And we have not been very successful. We can do a lot with respect to interdiction. But in the end, as long as we have a demand for drugs in the United States, we're going to have a supply coming from somewhere. You know, back in the 80s, it was cocaine flying out of little planes coming out of Colombia, crossing the border. Now, virtually, we have virtually no little planes flying out of Colombia into the United States. We've shut down our airspace.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do instead now is land in northern Mexico and come across on the ground, mostly through the ports, believe it or not, not through the areas between ports, because there's still a demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they're using submarines now.
In 2019, we intercepted a truck of marijuana going from California into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Because our marijuana was better than theirs.
Hmm.
And the demand was higher down there than it was in California at the time.
Oh,
and, you know, so demand is going to drive this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can have a lot of good. We can do a lot of good by interdicting, but interdicting is not going to solve the problem.
Mm.
And so this is a wicked problem. And this is dealing with some of the symptoms, but it's not, in my opinion, actually going to solve a lot. We've been interdicting for years and years.
All right, General Buchanan, I've sure enjoyed our talks. Any final thoughts for us?
I do. I have one that I want to make sure to get in since this is my last interview with you. You know, back in, I think it was 2010, I was in my fourth tour in Iraq. I was working with the Iraqi government on some things, and part of it was, they had had a series of elections. They had their first election in 2005, but they were struggling as a government. And the reason they were struggling is because a lot of people believed democracy was just about being able to choose your own leaders, which they had that power since 2005.
Okay.
But it's not. It's a lot more complex than that. You have to, in order to be successful as a democracy, it has to be built on a foundation of values. Values like the people choose their own government, but you have to have a free press so that the people can hold the government accountable. And so a free press is critical to democracy. And given all that and your role in building and maintaining a free press in our country, I just want to thank you for all your years of service.
Thank you very much, General. I very much appreciate those thoughts. On behalf of General Buchanan, Bill Buckmaster saying, see you tomorrow.